You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hockey. Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Yeah, I feel stronger. Like I always say it now, I feel better than before because I had such a long time to recover and just to work on my, everything on me, like on my good things or my bad things. So I always wanted to be much better, and I think like for me, I have much more confidence than before, and I can see it out there and just feel more comfortable now.
Welcome in to Judd's Hockey Show. Zolgad and Declan Goff. As always, that was Wild rookie Marco Rossi, who is taking part in a camp that the Wild is conducting with the Chicago Blackhawks at the TRIA, at their TRIA practice facility in St. Paul. Of course, Rossi missed almost all of last year because of COVID problems that developed into a heart issue. He is fine now, and he is back. But the question becomes, Declan Goff, with training camp set to start next week, are the Wild really fine? There are some definite floating questions out there. And because of that, I have a pre-training camp edition for you.
All right.
I have five burning Wild questions, and we're going to start with a reckless speculation, because it is reckless speculation Thursday as we record this. It is a reckless speculation, but I don't think it can be completely dismissed given how things are going.
Okay. I'm ready. Hit me.
I will throw out the question. You go first.
Okay.
At what point would you consider, and would you consider trading Kirill Kaprizov, who still is not signed and who evidently he and his agent are going to drag their feet as much as possible? Would you ever consider putting him into a trade to try to get a return back from a guy who seemingly wants to sign with you or play for you?
First off, before I answer this question, I want to preface before our YouTube commenters and everyone else kills us for even suggesting this. This is just, number one, it's reckless speculation Thursday, and we like to talk about reckless things. Number two, it's okay to talk about things that make you uncomfortable. I want that off the record.
Actually, this has been thrown out before.
And it has been thrown out. You and I have discussed it on the last episode.
Yeah, but it's been thrown out. It's been thrown out by lots of folks because this is getting to critical mass. So, if you don't like this question, then you don't really subscribe to how pro sports work.
Correct.
So that's cool. But yeah, this is not a Judd. I just came up with this question.
Yeah.
This is actually something that's been speculated on. And the closer we get to this being a clear divide between the Kirill camp and Bill Guerin, the more, at least it has to be broached.
So to answer the question, it would have to take a lot for me to get all in on the idea of trading him. That would be a doomsday situation if I were the Wild. But let's get into the pros or the reasons why they would explore doing this. I think number one, you do this because you're in salary cap hell. And yes, Kirill Kaprizov's worth $9 million a year, but the Wild have dead money. And the Wild are going to have dead money, and they're going to have a limited opportunity to compete for a Stanley Cup when these buyouts really kick in years 2, 3, and 4. So you may as well not bog yourself down any more than you possibly should. That's probably the biggest pro to why you would trade Kaprizov, because then you wouldn't be paying a player $9 million, and it would give you a little bit more space. To enter the actual realm and psyche and the return of what I could be possibly looking for, it would need more prospects. It would need first round picks. It would need things that would be cost effective and high upside things that would be worth it. You wouldn't be swapping out bad contracts necessarily. You need to get a return that's worth your while in the long run. I think if everything goes hunky-dory and Kaprizov was here and Fiala's here and you had a number one center, you can compete for a cup right now. But there's still questions if the Wild can legitimately do that. So if you're going to trade Kaprizov, it's to not bog you down anymore financially, and two, to get a return to reset things, really, as you kind of retool over these next few years when those buyouts are hitting up. So that's kind of where I would be if you were to trade Kirill Kaprizov.
So we don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, but it seems really odd that a guy who has, right now, he will eventually, has no leverage, is still not signed. I don't think it's money. I think the Wild is ponying up what they want financially. Now, obviously, if every player wants more, but for a guy who played 55 games and was great, but then didn't have a great playoff, I don't think the $9 million is a real sticking point. I think the term is, which is where this gets really intriguing. And you have to ask yourself, does this guy want to be here? And anything less than a 5-year contract to me makes very little sense. You sign him to a 3-year contract, he's gone. And that makes zero sense. So would I consider trading him? Absolutely. I think you have to. I think if he's going to drag his feet, and they're going to say, we're not showing up and, you know, we're signing, it's 3 years or the highway. I think you would be doing yourself a disservice not to explore a trade to see what he could potentially get, especially if you can work a trade with a team that he wants to go to, where he then says, hey, I'll take that, I'll take that 8-year contract right from them. So I think the closer we get to this being a situation, and I still think he comes back, but the closer we get to this being a situation where it appears that they really might be hung up on like a 3-year deal, the closer you get to the reality of you have to consider a trade to see what's out there. Because I will say this, I don't think under any circumstances Bill Guerin going to do a 3-year contract.
No.
Like, I think it's five years or something's going to give here.
Yep.
And I keep saying, I think the Kaprizov camp is going to have to say $9 million or a little bit more per 5 years will sign. And then after that, he can take his chances, at which point I think he'd be around 29 or 30. But if they're really saying, no, 3 years, Billy, that's all we're doing, then he's either, in my opinion, not going to be playing hockey in 2021-22, or he's going to be playing it for another team and the Wild's going to get a big return. So is this ideal? Absolutely not. Can the Wild just capitulate and say, 3 years, sign? No, they can't.
Yep.
They can't. So anybody who thinks like, oh, they're not going to trade him, they can't trade him, you need to check yourself a little bit here. I mean, this is pro sports. And I will say this for Bill Guerin, he's not going to get pushed around.
No.
Like, he ain't gonna come back to Kirill's camp and be like, tail between the legs, oh man, I'm sorry. Oh, okay, here's the contract that you want. This is hardball, baby.
This is.
And hardball might include a trade. I don't think it will, but it's more on the table now than I've ever thought previously.
I agree. It's trending more. The idea of doing it is possible. I still think I'm more of a doomsday. That's a doomsday situation. But yeah, you have to consider it. You absolutely have to consider it. And you'd be a fool not to at least listen.
At some point in time, if this continues on, and I keep saying it's going to end soon, and it doesn't. At some point in time, if nothing else, and we're probably to this point, you have to pick up the phone.
Yep.
Like, you got to start to make some phone calls.
You have to realize,
like, there's no way if they have given you, Kaprizov's representatives have provided you a list. I will say this, and it's in your conference, so it might not be ideal, but it's not your division. Los Angeles Kings have a long line of very nice prospects and players and high draft picks.
Yeah.
And the Russian players, Dex, like to go where? They like to go to the coasts, right? Rangers, Kings, something like that. So question number two for you.
Okay.
Better rookie season, more impactful. The guy that we just heard from, center Marco Rossi, or fellow first-round pick Matthew Boldy?
This is an interesting one because I think it's easy to say Matthew Boldy because he's been playing hockey more. He seems more pro-ready. He's older. This would make a lot more sense for Boldy. But in terms of making a bigger impact and whose impact would help the Wild more this season of hitting their ceiling, it'd be Rossi. Because Rossi's a center. Rossi's the guy that's supposed to be this ace of the hole person for you. Even with his health scare and health problems that he had off the ice last year, With COVID, there's still some questions that have to be answered there. I liked his demeanor. I like that he straight up said, my goal is to make the NHL. I despise cliche hockey answers, and it's probably the one sport that has the worst of all cliche answers. And even like the NHL commercial during the Stanley Cup playoffs of it's all about us, it's all about we, it's all about team. I can't stand that. I like guys that have pizzazz, and I like guys that have confidence. That's why I gravitate more to a guy like Kevin Fiala, because he just tells it like it is, and he plays the chip on his shoulder. I like more of that. So I like when a player like Marco Rossi says, my goal is to make the NHL. I'm ready. I know I can contribute. I love that. To answer the question, I think it's more likely it's Boldy, just because he has a little bit more tires on his tread and he's ready to basically play in the NHL right away. But Rossi, I mean, if he is indeed ready to go and you've been looking for a center, your prayers might be answered right away.
I'm going Rossi. They're going to give him every chance to make this team. And furthermore, I think not opening night, but I think they're going to give him every chance to ascend the depth chart very high if possible. Boldy is a winger. I really like him. I like what he's going to bring. I think he's going to have an impact, and I think he's going to be a good player. But all of that being said, Marco Rossi plays a position that's one, a premium position. Two, it's a position at which the Wild desperately needs premium players. And so while the Wild, Garrett and Evason don't gift you a job, but I think that they like Rossi enough that they're going to come as close as you can possibly come to giving him the opportunity. I will say this, last spring in the playoffs against the Golden Knights, I thought Matthew Boldy should have played in the playoffs, and he took part in a morning skate or two, but he never played. If that had been Rossi in the same circumstance, Declan, I think he plays. Mm-hmm. I think that they would have played him. I get the sense that the Wild is desperate might be too strong. I get the sense that the Wild wants to give Rossi the chance to be the player that they didn't acquire.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, and that's the faith. That's why they're doing this.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I thought they should have played Boldy too. Like I feel like they should have had the same faith in Boldy. But
I agree.
At the time they were like, well, we got all these wings, and if we're not playing Zach Parise, how do we play Boldy? To which I said, well, who cares? but yes, so I think it's Rossi, and I think if Rossi's as good as they think he's going to be, it's going to eliminate a lot of the fears that we have.
Hey, yeah, and I'm all for that. You know, I know you and I have talked about before that we believe in these guys. I just think Wild fans have to have tempered expectations of what prospects can do, not just in their career, but what you think they're going to do and what their mm-hmm. impact is on day one. And you do have to have a jury out on that and have some skeptic optimism that, hey, this might take some time.
Question number three, 5-pack of Wild questions. Training camp, they're on the ice next Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
Love it.
Which defenseman, and I'm not talking like way down the depth chart, okay? But which defenseman do you think benefits most from the departure of minutes-eating Ryan Suter? Which defenseman do you think actually benefits from the departure of Suter? And I should say this, internal guys. So
yeah.
like
go, I got you.
Goligoski comes in, and clearly it's going to help,
right.
It got him a job. But which current defenseman who was on the roster last year do you think takes even another step up because number 20 is gone?
Dumba. Easy for me, it's Dumba. I think the one that probably comes to mind, you think, oh, it's Kalen Addison. I'm trying to figure out where Kalen Addison actually slides into this team right now.
He might not be on the opening roster. See, that's what I'm saying. Rossi, they want desperately to make this team.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. Boldy, Addison, like we just assume, well, you're gonna play him, right? And they're like, no, we got some depth there. So you are. That's a really good point.
It's Dumba. Dumba, look, is a polarizing player. He's an offensive first defenseman. I don't think his defensive warts are as strong as they once were, or as harsh as they once were earlier part in his career. He needs some stability with his partner on his other side. But with Suter basically eating 23, 24 minutes a game the last few seasons, his minutes have decreased from that at one point playing 28, 29 in his early Wild tenure. I think Dumba's game finally hits that next level. Goligoski is the plug-and-play option, and Goligoski should be a nice player. You know, he's older, but he should be a nice player. He's also a good power play defenseman. But I think this is finally, if Dumba's going to show that, hey, before that Peck injury, that this was legit and this wasn't a fluke, the opportunity is now here for Matt Dumba to make that case significantly. So with Suter getting out, I think it's Matt Dumba who actually does step up, and finally we finally get to see this consistently, not this snake bitten, not this bad luck. I think he finally wakes up and does this consistently for the first time since his Peck injury.
And I do think that the potential combination, which I think we will see, of Dumba and this guy, little Jonas Brodin for you.
Brodin.
I'm showing the fans. Yes. I think that combination is going to be really, really good. And it's been good. I think it's going to take a step up. But you know who mine is? This might surprise you.
Okay.
Jared Spurgeon. And here's why.
Okay.
Jared Spurgeon was held hostage by Suter, who always demanded that he play with Jared Spurgeon. And I said this, and I wrote about this like 2 or 3 years ago, Declan. I said, hold on a second here. Ryan Suter, veteran defenseman. And at that time, so Brodin's fantastic. I love him. But at that time, there were times where they would take Suter and put him with Dumba, right? Because Suter could be a stay-at-home, stabilizing guy. And like Dumba's skill set, he'll do things that drive you crazy. But Dumba's skill set is a unique one. And he needs freedom to make plays that might get screwed up at times.
Mm-hmm.
But that freedom also can make really good offensive plays. But what happened, Declan, every single time? Every single bleeping time, Suter would whine his way back into a pairing with Spurgeon. Now, Suter and Spurgeon are both very good. Jared Spurgeon's a hell of a player. But the issue was, I always said this, why are you putting them together? Like put Dumba at that time. Let Brodin have, because Brodin, to me, flat out, is a better player than Suter. So let Brodin have freedom. Put him with Dumba at that time, but put him with Spurgeon at times. You can move that around. Instead, it would be like, no, I got to play with Spurge. I need to play with Spurge. Spurge will do this. Spurge will do it. But you know what that included? That included, and this is where it's going to be, this is where I think you're going to see a step in Spurgeon's game. That included Spurgeon basically being told to be the guy to make sure Suter looked good. So like Spurgeon had to do a lot of things that assured that Suter would still look like he could be an all-star. That's gone now. Like that's gone. So Spurgeon, I think, is going to play with Goligoski probably, but Goligoski is not going to tell him what he should do. He's not going to make demands. So I actually think Jared Spurgeon has another, and I'm not saying it's like a huge step, but I think there's another level to Jared Spurgeon's game that didn't get unleashed because he basically had to be Suter's backup.
I get that.
So I like your point, and it's a great one. And I think as far as the next step, you're probably right. But I'm saying I think that there's another step to Spurgeon's game now that gets unleashed because he doesn't have an anchor around his neck of a guy who's like, I got to play with this guy.
Yeah.
This is my guy. He's got to go get the puck. He's got to do this. He's got to, that's gone.
Yep.
So and that's where I think the loss of Suter is going to hurt in some ways. There's no question. He is a good player. But I also think that there's an argument to be made that jettisoning him is going to free up people to fulfill what they can do completely more so than always be tied to, well, Ryan's got to be with Jared. Ryan's got to do this. Ryan has to play. Ryan's going to extend his shift. Hey, is that a good idea? Ryan doesn't care, Seriously.
I got you. Yeah, I think Spurgeon also had a kind of a rough postseason series too with Vegas as well. He didn't play up to his normal standards. I'm curious what he is too without Ryan Suter. He's literally been here his entire tenure since basically Suter got here outside of his rookie season. So I want to see what Jared Spurgeon does as well. I think those are two good options. And Kalen Addison, yeah, I don't bank on Kalen Addison making this roster just yet. I think he has a good chance to, but I wouldn't put that in pen.
Yep. I think the opening night odds on the rookies that we talk about the most, I think Rossi makes it. I think number two on that list is Boldy, and then three, Kalen. So question number four, did Bill Guerin make a mistake by not adding a center? A veteran center, I should say.
This is tricky because I didn't want him to overpay for one. or go out of his way to mortgage a lot of things just to plug and play it. But I do think it's a bad assumption to assume that Rossi is going to step in and just be that guy right away. I want him to be that guy. I would probably lean that, yes, it was a mistake for him not to bring in some type of credible center. I think when we hear veteran, we also kind of default to older or up there in age or heavy cap hit. And maybe that's what it takes, you know, to have a center at that point. Yeah. But yes, I think it was a mistake. I think it was a mistake to make an assumption that you're going to be able to get Victor Rask to be the same player he was, to get Marco Rossi to make an impact on day one. I would lean that it was a mistake.
I agreed with you completely until I saw what the going rate was for Christian Dvorak, which was a 1 and a 2. And now here's my question. So I am very torn here on this team. So when the season came to an end, I thought to myself, 2021-22, playoff team for sure, going to be improved, probably should be in a spot, especially with Kaprizov, to make a run. Now the Kaprizov thing has gone, for right now at least, as we record this, sideways, right? And there's more unknowns, I feel like, especially with the eventual salary cap hell that you talked about that's coming up in the next 2 to 3 years after this season. So originally I thought, yeah, go get Dvorak. It's going to help you. It's not like he is a substantial improvement on Eriksson Ek, but he certainly could slot up there with Eriksson Ek, right? And you didn't do that. But then I saw it was a first and second round pick. I'm not sure if you're going to be as good as I thought. And again, I don't want to be trading high draft picks in future years if you're going to go back down, which I think you are for sure starting next year. So I guess I was the market, what we saw as the going market rate changed my opinion a bit, because my initial inclination was go get a center. Like, you can't, don't make Ryan Hartman play there again.
I know.
I still don't think you can tell me till you're blue in the face how great Victor Rask was. And he can play a role, but it's a big time bottom six role and it's probably fourth line. So, but I become much more uncertain of this team. I feel like when they lost game 7 to the Golden Knights, I was much more certain of their track than I am right now.
Right. I know. And with those dead money cap hits too, that's where it can be potentially an issue going forward.
Yep. Yeah.
And also they're not in that West division playing those California junk teams. I mean the Wild were like the second or third team to clinch a playoff spot. Like no one saw that coming right away. And the Central Division is a gong show. Like, no, Chicago and Nashville, I'm not scared of. Chicago got better with Fleury in there, but I'm not scared of Chicago and Nashville. But the Central is a gauntlet, man. Like, I don't know if there's one team that is far and away the best in the division, but everyone's going to beat up on each other. So to assume that they'd have the same point percentage or same winning percentage as they did last year playing in that West division is kind of a poor assumption to make.
Dallas improved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colorado is now their goaltending should scare them. Darcy Kemp, I think that's a huge mistake. Darcy Kemper was, I think, good with the Coyotes in part because there's no pressure there. Pressure there is going to be a problem, but they have a great team still. So Avs still really good, right?
Yeah.
Dallas improved. The Blues are sort of weird. The other thing too is, and you said this about the Blackhawks, and it's exactly right. So like the Blackhawks, Blues, and Wild, you don't know, but you can't assume that they're going to be bad, right?
Yes.
So I'm with you. This division right now is pretty damn strong. And I think the Wild might be a wild card team again, because that's coming back. But even that's good. Those points races are tough. So yeah, it's difficult to call. And going back to what, an 82 game schedule, playing in the Central is a lot different than 56 in a West, which had two great teams, the Wild and garbage after that.
I agree.
Question number 5 to wrap us up. Wild 5 bag of questions. On the scoop earlier today on Mackie and Judd, Score North, scorenorth.com, YouTube, all those good places. Doogie mentioned the fact that skating at Braemar Arena without a contract in Edina, because he still lives there, because he's never going to leave, because he loves it here.
Oh, God.
Eric Staal.
Oh.
Okay, Declan, before you, and I know, you know what? I would have the exact reaction if the roles were flipped and you were asking the question. But for a team that needs, that could definitely use another veteran center coming off a miserable time in Buffalo, but then a run to the Stanley Cup Finals with the Montreal Canadiens, would you consider bringing back on a cheap one-year contract Eric Staal?
No. No, 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 no.
People like him.
I don't care that people like him. No, that's not it. Okay. If roles were reversed and Victor Rask was making $2 million and was on the last year of his contract, would I rather pay old Eric Staal for $2 million or Victor Rask for $2 million at 28? I would probably, I guess, flip the coin and say, all right, give me Eric Staal, but I'm also not going to be expecting a whole lot. No, I don't have any interest in bringing back Eric Staal. That signing was great. Bargain bin signing. It turned out to exceed expectations. He revitalized his career. Might be a Hall of Famer. He's borderline NHL Hall of Famer. And he saved his career a little bit after a poor ending in Chicago or Carolina, and then that pit stop in New York. So he definitely saved his career and resurrected it a little bit towards the end here in Minnesota. He accomplished a lot. Turn the page. Eric Staal does not make you better in 2021.
Okay, question 5.1. Okay. If you could trade Victor Rask tomorrow for a bag of used pucks and somebody would take him, mm-hmm. and Eric Staal had to replace him, would you do that then? Because I like your point about, you know, because I'm with you on that point. So would you, if you could, you know, because keep in mind, if you could trade Victor Rask and his contract for a bag of used pucks, Eric Staal would probably come back for about $5.
Right. Probably, yeah. Again, yeah, if it's the same price and I didn't have to eat the money on Victor Rask, another team takes it off my books, yeah, probably. But again, I'm talking about either a center who makes too much money that's not good, or I'm talking about an old center who's slow and doesn't make you better. So you're picking a poison. I guess I'll pick the poison that I know better in Eric Staal, but it doesn't get me more excited or more optimistic about how this team looks down the middle.
I'm going no across the board. I'm not doing it. There's no way. I find it, if he had never played for the Wild and lived here, I think I might consider it, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, let's bring him to training camp and sign him to what they call a PTO, professional tryout contract. I'd consider that, but he played here. You traded him. I think you got comfortable here.
Nope.
I hated that. So I am saying no. Although the idea with another player who just happened to be skating at Braemar, who had never played for the Wild and happened to play center as well, probably would intrigue me. So I'm a bit hypocritical here, but I can't go down the paths this team have traveled. They've worked very hard to sever those ties, and I appreciate that.
I agree with you, dude. Time to move on. Move on, Wild fans. Move on.
Final thoughts from you before we wrap this sucker up?
I'm just excited that training camp's around the corner. Yes, Kirill, please sign this contract every day that goes by. Training camp opens 1 week from the day as we're recording this on September 16th, and you still have to quarantine. You have to get a visa. You might even have to get a CDC-approved vaccination. There's a lot more hurdles than just you signing that contract. So Kirill and our other Russian correspondents and friends who listen to this show, just sign the contract. Ari Gold, your agent, can you just quit playing hardball and make this happen, please?
Not as good as Ari Gold.
Actually, I love Ari Gold, and yes, that's
exactly
very effective. The name.
Very effective. Hey, last thing for those of you who are actually have come to watch us, and we appreciate that. Does this look like Dwayne Rollison to you, Dex?
It does look like Rollo the Golo.
Yep. I got this at a sports card shop. Little Dwayne Rollison. The Wild needs to make new ones.
Yes.
Like I need a Kaprizov if he stays here. But I need like a new one too. All right, we're done. I think we'll be back. I believe we will now transition into a full-time weekly basis with training camp starting on Thursday. And as I said, the Wild's having a TRIA this weekend, a prospect camp. They're going to have a couple scrimmages against the Blackhawks prospect team as well. Boldy, Rossi, all of those guys taking part. So we will be back at least once next week to talk about what's ahead. Dex, do your thing.
Pass, shoot, score.
Your dog is more than just your bestie with the cutest face ever. Get to know them on a genetic level with Embark Vet, developed by veterinarians and PhDs, Embark screens for more than 215 genetic health risks across more than 350 breeds. It's top-notch science for your top-notch pup. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.